One of my favourite stories in the Bible is the story of what happens to the prophet Elijah on the day after his great encounter with the prophets of Baal. You can read the stories in 1 Kings 18 and 19. There is a great showdown on Mount Carmel. Elijah overthrows his enemies, but the next day the prophet is exhausted, completely burnt out, and fleeing for his life. He now wants to give up and die. God meets Elijah as he flees through an angel. God provides him with bread and water in the desert and takes him on a journey of 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, a different mountain. Then God comes to Elijah and we read this. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. Literally, a still, small voice. In that sheer silence, in the still, small voice, after 40 days, at the end of that journey, Elijah meets with God and finds a new call and a new strength for the next part of his life. For 40 days and 40 nights and then some, our nation has been in lockdown. We've been travelling a hard and difficult road together, enduring disease and grief and anxiety. For all of us, there will be an outer journey, and that will be different for every person and every family. But for all of us, there's been, too, an inner journey, a journey, as it were, into the wilderness, where the things which sustain us and bring us joy are cut away, where life becomes much simpler and more constrained, and where we come by different routes to seek the voice of God and look for meaning and for peace. Pope Benedict once said that the outer deserts in the world are getting bigger, because the inner deserts are so vast. Through the COVID crisis, the world and the church are coming face to face with some of our inner deserts, with what it really means to be poor in spirit. We have so few inner resources to meet this crisis, so little to offer to the world around us, unless we're prepared to go deeper into God ourselves and tap the reservoirs of hope and trust within our faith. We have a prayer and a vision as a diocese that God is calling us to be a more Christ-like church, more like the Lord we're called to follow and to serve. In particular, we have a prayer that we will become more contemplative, more compassionate, and more courageous. I think this vision will become more important, not less, as we pass through this crisis and out the other side. The first of our three C's is the key to the second and the third. Whatever might be going on in the world around us, this lockdown is an invitation and an opportunity to come deeper with God, to address our spiritual poverty, and to dare to explore that inner space, to be still, and to wait for the winds and the earthquake and the fire within to pass, and then to listen for that still small voice speaking in the silence. Psalm 4 can be our guide as we dare to explore this inner space. As we've seen, the key to understanding some of the Psalms is to identify who is speaking in each part of the song. Psalm 4 is not like that. We have the same speaker throughout, but different parts of the psalm are addressed to different people. The psalm begins with a prayer to God in times of trouble, in verse 1. Verse 2 is spoken directly to the psalmist's enemies. The psalm continues in verses 3, 4, and 5 with a prayer of testimony, which unfolds exactly the qualities and virtues we'll need through the coming months and years of rebuilding. In Psalms 6, 7, and 8, the psalm ends with prayer to God in peace and rest and trust. The psalm begins in a narrow place, a place of confinement, a space where we are hemmed in on every side. The opening verse could be written for a time when our freedom is taken away, when we are locked in and locked down. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You set me at liberty when I was in trouble. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. An old translation of the middle part of that verse says, You brought me to a broad place, out of a narrow place. Hence the idea of life opening out, of being set free, even in the midst of trouble. The psalmist is set among enemies who do not honour what is good and right and true. How long will you nobles dishonour my glory? How long will you love vain things and seek after falsehood? The hardships of the present time will seem even harder if the people around us don't share our values or if they try to undermine us. But the testimony of trust in verses 3, 4, and 5 is where I really want to concentrate today. The Psalms never ever take us out of this world or pretend that things are well when they are not. But the Psalms take us again and again to the place of trust, of inner balance and strength, even in the midst of difficulty and danger. Here in the centre of this psalm is a threefold cord of teaching, a place to come when doubt and despair strike, and especially when people wound us, or on days when we become deeply conscious of our own failings and our emptiness. This threefold teaching is built around three words, three things we're told to do in this psalm. Something we're called to know, something we're called to ponder deep in our hearts, and something we are called to offer. Each is important as we draw strength from God and from our faith in this crisis. Know, ponder, offer. The first is to know, and to know that we are loved. This is the first part of the testimony and teaching. But know that the Lord has shown me his loving kindness. When I call upon the Lord, he will hear me. The word translated loving kindness here means strong and steadfast love, the kind of love that never gives up, no matter what we do. This is the strong mercy of God, who knows us well and loves us still with a deep and personal affection and commitment. This is the steadfast love of God shown to us in creation and shown even more deeply in the love of God in Christ and all that Christ endures for us, the love shown on the cross in the winning of our salvation, the love which we cannot earn and which we do not deserve. This is the word of love, which God speaks to the very core of our identity, of who we are. This love is where we find our self-understanding, not in the opinions of others, whether friends or enemies, opinions which change with the times, but the love of God which is strong and steadfast on our best days and on our bad days, when we feel proud and when we feel worthless. This is the steadfast, strong love of which Paul writes in Romans 8, Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This undeserved and steady love God gives to us is the lens through which we are meant to see ourselves and form our own identity. You are first and foremost not a random collection of atoms, but a beloved child of God, held by God, forgiven and cherished, even in the midst of the constraints of isolation. In this journey through the desert, many will find that we are separated from the things which normally give us a sense of self-worth or value. Our business, our classrooms, our grandchildren, our role in the local community. As the props of our identity are kicked away, it can seem as though nothing will be left. But when everything else is stripped out, there will be this. We are rooted and grounded in God, and known by God, and in the abundant, personal, strong and steadfast love God has for us. And this knowledge and this love endures beyond this life and into the life to come. But know that the Lord has shown me his marvellous loving kindness. When I call upon the Lord, he will hear me. First then, we are to know this deeply. Next, we are to commune with our hearts on this, to ponder it richly, to become contemplatives, and to be still. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. This is exactly the journey Elijah follows between the two mountains. At the beginning, Elijah is shaken, overextended, angry and agitated, anxious and afraid. The word translated stand in awe means all of these things. I think myself that upset would be a better translation. We all know when we're upset or angry, all kinds of things can go wrong. When we are feeling vulnerable and wounded, we easily hurt others. These are exactly the moments to be recollected, to still ourselves, to commune with our heart, to draw apart and seek silence. It's good to acknowledge that hurt or anger, but then to give time before God to be calm and still again. In the Greek and Latin translations of the psalm, there's a sense here of bringing a heart to God which has been hurt and damaged, as it were, for repair and mending. We've been goaded or punctured. Augustine talks about an opening out of the heart, the enlarging of our hearts to receive the love of Christ. Loving people can be really hard, even when we know that we are loved. As Christians, according to Jeremiah, God takes our hearts of stone and gives us new hearts of flesh. But those hearts of flesh get hurt and shaken up and angry and distressed. And we begin, if we're not careful, to turn back to stone, and our love grows cold. So the psalmist moves from knowing the deep love and mercy of God to being able to speak with his shaking and anxious heart, and tells his heart to be quiet and still again. And then comes the third instruction. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Perhaps originally verse 5 is a reference to the worship in the temple. The disturbed worshippers would go now and make an offering to God of grain or wine or an animal. But as a Christian, I want to read Psalm 4 in the light of Psalm 51, especially as we've just been reminded of how wounded and vulnerable our hearts can be. Psalm 51 says this: "The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." What can I offer to God in these moments when I realize again the depth and height and breadth of God's love for me in Christ? I can only offer my anxious, contrite, and broken heart. The same heart I have told to be still in the watches of the night. God has already made the sacrifice. the one perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, in the gift of Jesus Christ and in his death on the cross. I cannot earn love or salvation. I can only wonder and receive that gift in faith and in trust. And in response to such love, I can only offer my heart, my life, back to God in return. So the psalmist's testimony unfolds the heart of what it means to be a Christian. To come to a knowledge of God's love and mercy, to be deeply reconciled to God and still before God, and to offer my life to God daily in all its fragility and frailty, and to seek to live for God in every way I can. The consequence of this brokenness and trust is explored in the final movement of the psalm, which exposes the shallowness of materialism and the deeper joy which is in God. There are many that say, "Who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us." And then, my favourite verse of the psalm, "You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their corn and wine and oil increase." As Christians, we know the value of bread and wine and oil, and the joy which comes from sacraments. As Christians, we know the power of thanksgiving. "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for it is you, Lord, who makes me dwell in safety." There will be a spiritual journey for each of us through this lockdown, and for all those we travel with back to the still small voice. For each of us it will be different. But Psalm 4 carries the heart of the gospel. God is patient with us in these journeys. Each of us will need to return and come to the place again where we understand and know the steadfast love of God, even in the midst of our trials. Each of us will need to return and come again to the place where we bring our fragile and wounded hearts back to God to be remade and to be stilled and mended again and filled with the love of Christ. And each of us will need to make our own living sacrifice to offer back to God our poverty of spirit, our broken and contrite heart, and place our trust once again in the Lord. As we do that, so we will know again the gift of gladness and contentment, the deep peace of Christ, and the salvation which God offers to us. "In peace we will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make us dwell in safety." Give us today, O God, a glad heart and a clear conscience, that when we come to this day's end, we may rest in peace with Christ our Lord. Amen.